Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Lady Luck finally smiles on Ryan Blaney, and he makes the trip to victory lane. And oh, by the way, Penske now has every one of their drivers in the winner's circle. What organization could do that next? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You listen to the Pit Reporters. We've met this week Brandon Caldwell from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Jeff Taylor from the CW Charlotte.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Brandon and Jeff here. And yeah, finally, Brandon, Mr. Snakebit, Ryan Blaney, who's in a fast car all year long. And the drivers say, as long as I got a fast car, I'm okay. Well, Ryan Blaney finally got the fast car to make it to the end of the race. And man, he was pretty impressive throughout the day. And he made it to the end, got that trip to victory lane finally.
Yeah, it's five DNFs going into the race this season in, what, 13 races before this? So that was it was sort of a snake-bitten year so far for Blaney, but they were still seventh in points. So that showed you how fast and how much speed they still had in their cars, despite all those DNFs, but was able to finally close one out last night.
I mean, yeah, you look at it when you talk about it, Jeff. I mean, he made the, you know, Brandon made the point. You look at his points, his stage points that he's got this year. He's like third in stage points, despite the fact that he's got those five DNFs, and he now has the win to go with it.
Which just, you know, solidifies the stage racing. And people, yeah, you know, whether you like it or not, it's important. But yeah, I mean, to get, and he used the word perfect snake bit, you know, to get to that point, you know, finally to get over the hump and get the win, good for him. But yeah, I mean, listen, other than those five races, I mean, the stage wins, the consistency, it's been there, especially with Penske Racing. So kudos to him and finally kind of getting over the hump and now getting his way into the, chase. Playoffs. It may always be the chase to me.
Well, hey, the same thing. I understand completely. Brandon, as you look at the toughest thing, I think, for Blaney has been with those five DNFs, keeping the spirits up. I mean, you know what, but like I said at the top, you got a fast race car, but at some point when you keep getting those five DNFs, at some point the spirits have to go, you've got to be kidding me. Am I ever going to break out of this?
Yeah, and I know it's hard for us and even, you know, people like us that have been around for a while to think of Ryan Blaney as a veteran now, because we all saw Dave Blaney, his father, race, but he's a veteran now. He's a champion now. If this was 3 or 4 years ago when we were kind of waiting for Blaney to sort of break out and have that multi-win year like we did, I thought we did for so long, he finally did that, and now he's a champion. I think this is a very different Ryan Blaney than we saw 4 or 5 years ago. He's able to understand that this is a long season. You know, one win can get you into the playoffs, and that, you know, two or three races can turn your season around. And I think that he understands that. He's been with Jonathan Hassler now for a couple of years as well as his crew chief. So I think that they went into this going, let's not panic. We've got, and obviously having the overall speed in the car as well was something that you could hang your hat on and go, hey, we're fast. If we can just put one of these together, it can come together for us. And I think he obviously did that last night. And that's how they were able to keep their mental mind frame straight enough to be able to put one together when it came to them.
Completely agree with Brandon. I think, you know, the consistency he's had, other than the five, you know, DNFs, you know, when you're with a team like Penske, who's had success, you know, and, I mean, the win was going to come. So I think, you know, there are other people who could really kind of be questioning where our season's going. But for him, I think he was just, you know, waiting for that point to arrive when he gets to the checkered flag and gets the win. So I think, you know, his attitude was probably, you know, younger, may not have been as good, but being the veteran that he is, like Brandon said, to call him a veteran, it's kind of crazy, but to be where he is, you know, I think the mentality part has always been, we can get the job done.
And, you know, it's funny because you think about after Vegas, we all kind of went, you know, who had the bingo card that had Josh Berry as the first Penske-related driver to get a win? And yet he has been the most, you know, and yet Blaney has been the most consistent Penske driver this season, and yet he's the last one, Brandon, to get a win.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, we've seen Cindric, you know, obviously have some spurts of good, strong runs here. You never can count out Joey Logano. He's almost one of those guys where you look at it and you go, I don't even pay attention to what he did last week, because he's such a veteran and he's been around for so long and he can put it together so well that you sit there and go, ah, he can win this week, no question about it. Even if they were 34th the last 5 weeks, the 22 is always a threat. I think he proved that last year. So, you know, you don't concern about him. So, yeah, the fact that the 12 was the last one to get a win is interesting. I think that's just because of the bad luck that they had. But, you know, like I said, Joey may not be the one that's running their strongest, but he's always one you have to watch. So it's interesting to see that all four Penske-affiliated cars have gotten in victory lane so far.
Says a lot about the organization. I mean, they've got their act together, and, you know, we'll talk about it later, but, you know, they might be the strongest organization out there right now. I mean, they've got the wins, they've got the stage wins, they've got the points, you know, and Ryan finally gets that win, you know, that kind of, you know, like I said, got him in. You know, kudos to that organization. They've got their act together, and, you know, when you think about Josh Berry, yeah, like Josh Berry, you're like, really? Berry, like, really? But at the end of the day, and like Brandon said, you know, for me, Joey Logano, you know, he's always going to get his win or wins, and I think he's always going to be, you know, it never shocks me every year to see him, you know, running for the championship come the last race of the season.
Well, and I think that's what it comes down to for Penske. I think we kind of look at them over the course of the year, and it's been the last few years, Brandon, when you look at them and say, okay, they're just kind of there. Yeah, they get their wins during the course of the season. Do you just do enough to get themselves into the playoffs? But then at playoff time is when they tend to really shine, that they spend the year getting better so that when they get to the 10-race stretch at the end of the year for the playoffs, that's when they really shine, and next thing you know, they won a championship.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that, because they're the only ones to win a championship in this next gen era. Joey Logano's got two, Ryan Blaney's got one. They're the only organization to win one, and they just seem to have this perfected. Now, I will say, looking at their wins so far this year, I mean, Cindric won at Talladega. They're always strong on the super speedway tracks, but Logano won at Texas. Blaney just won at Nashville. They've got, and we talked about Barry, his win at Las Vegas. All of those tracks are what I would consider intermediate tracks, and that's not where you need to be strong in the playoffs. You need to be strong at the short tracks. Martinsville's the cutoff race. Phoenix is the championship race. It's almost like, do we sit there and look at it and say, maybe this is the year because of how strong they've been on the intermediates? It almost feels like they should be strong on the short tracks instead of the intermediates, but there's still a long way to go before the playoffs as well.
Yeah, but think about it. You know, look at the playoffs and where you're going to go. You're going to Gateway, which is an intermediate track. You know, Kansas is in a round of, you know, they're in the round of 12. That's an intermediate track. I mean, you know, Vegas is in the round of 8. That's an intermediate track. So, I mean, Brandon, if you're going to be good at intermediate tracks, at least you got one in every round of the playoffs.
Yeah. And if you can win at Vegas, I know it sounds simple, but if you can win at Vegas, you're in the championship four at Phoenix. So, you know, obviously win gets you in. So yeah, that's an interesting thing. And they're really strong at Talladega. So you look at that and you say, okay, that's a round for them, the round of 8 that, you know, Team Penske probably is pretty good at, because they've been strong at the intermediate tracks. And then, you know, like I said, the super speedways, you always kind of have to watch out for them because they're always so strong there, especially Logano. He just knows how to block and push and do things right.
Well, yep. We've been talking the last few weeks, Jeff, about this, you know, coming up in Michigan. It's going to be the last of this, not counting the All-Star race, the last of this 5-race stretch of races at intermediate tracks. And once they leave this 5-race stretch, there is not another intermediate track on the schedule until we go back to, well, I think Darlington.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's not another intermediate track. I mean, Atlanta's on there, but Atlanta's not an intermediate track anymore. Atlanta's kind of a super speedway.
Yeah, when we talk about intermediate, you know, they even though they're intermediate and we call them that, they all kind of have their own characteristics. And how you drive them may be different. I don't think Gateway, to me, to put Gateway and Vegas together or something like that. You know what I'm getting at? Like, yeah. There's just that style of racing in terms of the way those are laid out and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, and listen, the next however many races it is after we leave Michigan, it gets crazy when we think about the schedule. So I think, you know, they're in a good spot where they can kind of, I think, enjoy the next few weeks when we go to Mexico and Sonoma and all the different tracks we're going to. But, you know, when we talk about the intermediate track, I agree with what Brandon said. Listen, when it comes to the super speedways, Penske's going to be up front. I get that. The short track, I think they could use a little, they need some help there, I think, on the short tracks.
Well, we talked about it. You know, this is the last intermediate track coming up. Who really has shown us in these last 4 weeks that they have it together outside of Penske? Who's shown us that they have it together that we really can spotlight now and think that they may be ready for the playoffs? Who's got to be concerned that as we go to this huge variety of tracks for the next 2 months, that they're going to have a lot of work to do and a lot of questions yet to be answered when the playoffs start? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Jeff Taylor from CW Charlotte and Brandon Caldwell from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, we talked about it going into the break, Jeff, that really Michigan is the last of this five-race stretch. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. Well, we're going to find out who is good on the intermediate tracks, and then we don't go back to an intermediate track until Darlington when the playoffs start. So in the meantime, if you have found out in this five-race stretch that you're not very good at intermediate tracks, you're not going to have time. I mean, you got time to try some things,
right,
to put some stuff in your car, but you're not going to have any answers as to whether or not it's the right thing until you get back to Darlington. So in the meantime, you've got road course at Mexico, Pocono, Atlanta, which is not an intermediate track anymore. It's more of a super speedway. Street course, road course at Sonoma, Dover, which is kind of a short track at a mile, Indy, which is, you know, huge track, Iowa, which is a short track, another road course, and then a short track at Richmond before you go back to Daytona. So, I mean, this huge variety. We said Penske has shown that they're good on intermediate tracks. I think we've seen maybe William Byron has look good at intermediate tracks.
Right.
But who else has looked good versus who else has now shown us that they ought to be concerned when we get to playoff time?
I think for me, right off the bat, Carson Husovar at Spire Motorsports. I mean, take, you know, the 600, you know, engine troubles or whatever, but he was running fantastic. And then, you know, of course, the performance he put on, you know, at Nashville. So I think Spire Motorsports, they're starting to get their act together a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, get up in there, continue to make the noise they've made. So I'd have to go with them. In trouble, I hate to keep bringing it up, but I keep going back to RCR. I think that, you know, I don't know what's going on over there and what's going down there with, you know, with both, you know, Dylan and who knows. But for me, Carl, I think Spire, you got to keep an eye on.
Who are you looking at, Brandon?
Oh, Gibbs, and in particular, Denny Hamlin. He was going to have a great run in the Coca-Cola 600, and they didn't get the car full on the last stop, and he had to pit early, and he ended up not having such a great finish. Sunday in Nashville, he had a great run despite all the adversity of not getting air into the helmet, not being able to get water into his helmet, all of that was going on, and he ended up with a third place finish. So Hamlin and Gibbs in particular I'm not so worried about, and I think that they're going to run really strong on the intermediates and going to be threats as we go forward here. And the one that I'm concerned about the most of anybody is Brad Keselowski. All these road courses coming up, nobody's going to confuse him for Boris Said on the road courses. He's a good driver, but he's not a great, you don't think of him as a great road course racer. And all of the stuff that's happened to him this year, you would have thought if you were to break this schedule up into pieces for Brad Keselowski, you would have wanted to get as many points as possible in the first part of this schedule. Obviously, they didn't do that. They're really struggling. So that is a concern for me going forward. Can he, I think at this point, he's going to need a win to get into the playoffs. Can he get that win to get in?
One team that's kind of surprised me in, from a negative standpoint, and maybe I'm overreacting a little bit, 23-11. They started off, Bubba especially, started off really good, has tended to level off. And I know that, you know, they had a penalty on pit road at Nashville, but they've kind of leveled off. And I know that especially Tyler Reddick was not, I mean, they were off the radar at Kansas, a place that had been really good in the past. But they just don't seem to have the consistency the last few weeks that I would have expected to see. Jeff?
I think you hit the nail on the head with consistency. I can't figure them out. And in terms of, it's almost become like, you either expect them, they're going to be up front or they're going to be in the back, like in the back. It's just, they haven't found that niche to, you know, whatever speedway they're at or whatever track they've been at, just to find that consistency. And when you can't find the consistency with the talent that's out there now, you're in trouble. So I think, you know, for me, I'm always looking, you're either running up front or I know they're running in the back and, or they're just not making any difference. I don't know where to go with it, but I would agree with that. Yes.
How would you see them, Brandon?
I think I'm not as concerned for 23-11 maybe as you guys are. They had decent runs on Nashville on Sunday night. Reddick had a pit road issue as well, I believe, and ended up ninth. And I believe that Bubba has been the best that he's been all year. Now, they did go through a little bit of a struggling period for sure, but he and Charles Denike, the new crew chief there, just seemed to have, you know, be on the same page with everything. And Bubba mentally seems like he's, you know, confident now. And I'm not as concerned that they're a top-tier Toyota team. And I like the way they ran at Nashville. Like I said, a couple of penalties, they were able to rally back from that. They can't continue to get penalties and make mistakes like that. That's not going to be good for them. But overall speed, I think Nashville, they sort of showed us that, you know, they're figuring some things out. But it'll be interesting to see how they get the rest of this regular season. And it's kind of left open for me. I'm not as concerned. And when you look at Toyota as a whole, even Legacy Motor Club has seemed to get a little bit of an uptick here lately. So when you're looking at across the board there with 23-11 Gibbs, all the Toyota teams that seem to work together, I'm not as concerned for them as maybe I would be for other teams.
Well, Brandon brought up Legacy Motor Club, and that's somebody I was going to talk about because they have really, and it's almost been quietly, but they're starting to make the strides that maybe I thought we expected to see a year ago, Jeff. John Hunter Nemechek has had some good runs. Now we're starting to see Eric Jones start to have some good runs. They are beginning to get on our radar.
Is it just because of the time they've been together now and getting to learn one another and starting to kind of, you know,
well, maybe gel? Maybe we go back to the personnel changes that they made in the offseason.
Well, that's true,
behind
too.
The scenes, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, and I mean, I guess they've done it quietly. You know, you all of a sudden go, where's, you know, Eric Jones come from? Or where's John Hunter and Nemechek come from? I forgot about those at the beginning, though, those changes.
Yeah.
But I guess even if you make those changes, a driver gets used to an organization and what's the expectations. You know, I think that instills some confidence and helps them as a driver, whether they have those changes or not.
Well, I think it's telling that, Brandon, that you hear Jimmy Johnson say that he didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to get the right people or quality people in place behind the scenes to raise an organization.
Yeah, I think that's difficult because nobody lets great people go away. I mean, how many times have we seen some of these bigger operations, I don't want to say fire a crew chief, but remove them from their crew chief position and put them into a role inside of the organization because they know that's a quality person that can go help another organization and they don't want them to do that. So you don't get these great people just out on the market very often. And so I do think that maybe that was what it was, is that it was a little difficult for him to build, Jimmy Johnson we're talking about, build an organization than he thought. This is also year two with Toyota. And Eric Jones is one of those drivers that, you know, if the equipment's good, he's going to get a great run out of it. And so when you looked at Eric Jones and you were like, okay, he's finishing the back half of the top 20. Okay, that you need to improve your equipment. I think sometimes there are teams that don't hire those guys and you sort of wonder, is it the equipment? Is it the driver? We don't know because the driver doesn't have a track record of running really strong and good stuff either. Eric Jones is the guy that has that track record. So you know that if the car is really good, Erik Jones is going to show it. At least that 43 is going to show it. And he's now working with Ben Bayshore. They've been there, I think, like a year and a half now, and Ben's got a track record with Gibbs. So that's a quality person that they added to their roster. And they're not aligned with Gibbs like 2311 is. So I think it was a little bit of a slower build for them. But it looks like here, at least in this part of the year, they found something.
When we come back, Carson Hocevar, he's on everybody's radar.
Yep.
Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Or is he just a victim of the veteran welcome to somebody they see as a threat? Stay with us.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, we welcome you back along with Brandon Caldwell from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Jeff Taylor from the CW Charlotte. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, we talk on this show occasionally when a young driver comes up and starts to have an impact, then Brandon, he ends up a victim of the veteran welcome, as we call it, where the veteran will be quick to beat him down, complain about how aggressive he is, and hoping that if the guy backs down, then the veterans have won and they've gotten rid of a rival. Is Carson Hocevar experiencing that legitimately now, or is he legitimately too aggressive?
I don't know if you can be too aggressive in this car, especially on restarts. I think, though, what we saw from him in Nashville with the Stenhouse incident, you know, he could have checked up there and let Ricky in. He chose not to. This is a 22-year-old kid that has a really fast car. You look at where his other teammates are at Spire Motorsports, he's outrunning them all the time. And he's doing a lot with probably equipment that's not as equal to some of the guys that he's running with. So he's a great driver. And I think that's where you kind of have to sort of toe the line a little bit if you're Spire. Do we want to slow this kid down? Because, you know, he's running second at Nashville in a Spire Motorsports car. Like, that's tremendous. But do we try and take that out of him? But you also want friends there. And you mentioned it. One of the drivers we saw have that issue, especially when they were really young, was Joey Logano. And that was when he was with Gibbs, and he lost that ride and really didn't seem to, you know, find his place until he got the Penske. And that could have broke him down. And that was a kid that we saw at 15 years old. Everybody was calling him sliced bread, next best thing. And when he was at Gibbs, everybody called him a bust because he just did not get along with a lot of his peers and didn't run well at the same time. And if you need to have friends out there. And I think that's where, if you're Hosovar, you need to think a little bit, because not only did you, you know, get into a veteran driver at Nashville, that's also a fellow Chevrolet driver as well at Stenhouse. And with how close all of these manufacturers operate now, that's something to keep in mind going forward. Do you really want to do that? And maybe you should have checked up and let him in and, you know, pass him, you know, five laps later, whatever, however long it took, rather than get into him right there. So that's something you need to think about, because you do need to have friends out there.
Jeff, how do you come down on this?
I don't know. I mean, there's times I'm agreeing with Brandon. There's sometimes I'm sitting here going, you know, I mean, it's racing. I mean, it's when you have, you're racing for, you know, stage points or the fastest lap of the race, or you're going for the win. I mean, you got to race. And when you're 22, and I mean, listen, the win gets you in the playoffs most likely. I mean, you're 22, you're making a name for yourself. And granted, I get, you know, having the friends and stuff like that. But it, you know, at what point, you know, why would you give a veteran any more, you know, grace than you would a 22-year-old kid? Makes sense? I mean, yeah. I'm balding and, you know, gray beard, and, you know, a youngster comes in and takes my job. Well, that's life. So for me, you know, Spire Motorsports is trying to make a statement. You know, they want the win. And so I when I go back and watch the incident with Stenhouse or whatever, yeah, he could have checked up. But do you? You know what I'm getting? I mean, you just, it's one of those things. It's a fine line to walk between, you know, getting the stage wins or getting the fastest lap or getting the win and making friends. Because your friends 1 week, you're not the next. And I don't know. It's just, it's a tough role to be in, I think. But, you know, listen, he's performing well.
Except he's not making friends.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I get it. But at the end of the day, it's, you know.
But ask Brandon, how many friends does Joey Logano have?
It's taken him a long time to, you know, to get on the right track and obviously win championships, but he still doesn't have a lot of friends out there from what he did, you know, 10, 12 years ago when he was at Gibbs. So, it takes a while. And I think at the super speedways where, you know, all the Chevrolet teams are going to work together, if there's a chance for the 47 car to get on the line and push the 77 car up, that's not going to happen.
Now, I do get that point, yes, because when you get to somewhere like Talladega or any of the super speedways, and you need that help, what's that going to look like? And maybe there's a phone conversation, you know, that'll take place and stuff like that. But it's just, you know, do you know what I'm getting at, though? It's just so tough. I mean, you know, and listen, I'm sure Logano doesn't care now whether he has any friends or not.
Yeah.
You know, he said
flat out, he goes, my job is to win races, not make friends.
Right. And, you know, the younger generation of, you know, it's, you know, my way or the highway sometimes. So, it's, you know, maybe it'll be a growth thing, but, you know, I can't give him, you know, any grief for what he's doing.
Well, we've seen it, you know, it, through history. You know, Ernie Irvin was beaten down, and you know, we saw it with Logano, and we saw it, you know, we've seen it with Ross Chastain, Brandon, and we've seen it with, now we're seeing it with Hosovar. And at some point, yeah, at some point there is some growth, but at some point, we've also seen it, as I talked about at the top, if the guy that they're beating on backs down, the veteran has won, then they have eliminated a competitor. If the guy decides, well, I'm not going to stick my nose in there because I don't want people mad at me, well, then the veteran has won. So that there is a fine balance there, right?
Absolutely. And I think you look at the opposite end of that is Brad Keselowski as well. He was one that had spats with Carl Edwards and all these other drivers when he was coming in, but he was full time in the Cup Series in 2010 and won his first championship in 2012. So he essentially, to me, didn't back down and sort of got over that because he didn't back down. And that made him great. And that made him special because, you know, if he backed down, who knows how long it would have taken him to win a championship. If ever he had those spats and he stood up to those veterans. And yes, Jeff, part of me does agree with you in the sense of like, did Ricky Stenhouse Jr. go down last night and say, oh, that's a 22-year-old kid, he should check up for me? If that's the mentality,
right?
I don't think that that's the right mentality either. So I get it in that standpoint from Hosovar as well.
And I think too, Brett, you know, when you think about the end of the day, the Nashville race was okay. I mean, you know, to me, it wasn't the most exciting race we've had, but we're talking about something today.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you know what I'm getting at that away is at least, you know, anytime there's kind of, you know, a little bit of turmoil, it helps the sport.
Well, and as we see what begins to happen with the fans, then is it turns into, it doesn't matter where Josevar is in the track. He may be at the opposite end of the track, but if a guy spins out in turn three and Josevar's in turn two, the guy will find a way to blame Josevar in turn three at some point in time.
I think it's going to be one of those things where if you see a spin and you see the 77 in anywhere in the vicinity, you're going to look at the replay and go, did Josevar get into him there?
Did he take the air off the back end? Yeah.
That's just what's going to go through our heads now, for sure.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Ross Chastain's just coming out of that now.
Right, exactly.
So there you go. All right. When we come back, pretty interesting weekend in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series with some popular wins. We'll talk about those when we return.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Winders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now to drive off a winner. And welcome back. Jeff Taylor from CW Charlotte's here. Brandon Caldwell from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio is here. And I'm Brett McMillan. Hey, Xfinity Series at Nashville, once again, a dominant performance, Jeff, from Justin Allgaier. You know, the guy wins a championship, and now all of a sudden, the reins are off, the monkey's off his back, and this guy's just dominating week in and week out. Third win of the year. He's got 178 stage points in 14 starts. He is just having an outstanding season. And there are a couple other races he could have won, too.
When you meant the word dominate, I mean, it's a perfect word for it. And, you know, I go back to Charlotte, too. You know, he had that one won, you know, and I know he struggled with, you know, the decision at the end. I think they decided not to pit or whatever. And then William Byron comes out of nowhere to win that one. You know, but for him to follow up Charlotte, and when I talked to him in on pit road after the race in Charlotte, you know, he's won the championship. He's got wins. He's got the stage points. He's having a great season. Still the emotions of losing that race at Charlotte. You could just see it in him. You know, the man is just, he's the epitome of a race car driver, if you ask me. And so to leave Charlotte, go to Nashville, put on that type of performance is pretty stout.
638 laps led so far this year, Brandon. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and a 92-point lead in the playoffs, or in the point standings right now. And this is a crafty veteran among a bunch of young kids, right? Honestly. You know, I mean, this is a guy that, you said it last year, won a championship. And each week, week in and week out, feels like he's a threat to win. I will also say it feels like Gibbs is a step back this year in the Xfinity Series. And I think that's helping as well, where there are times over the course of the middle, early parts of the season when we're sort of waiting for Junior Motorsports to step up and catch Gibbs. I don't think we're waiting for that right now because, you know, Gibbs has got a lot of inexperience in their full-time entries in the Xfinity Series. And so it feels like Junior Motorsports has sort of gotten to that point earlier in the year this year. And Justin right now is running away with it. We should be grateful that in both of these series, trucks and Xfinity, that there are playoffs in it, because if not, the two points leaders will be running away with this thing.
Yeah, it's been the playoffs until last year were kind of the bugaboo for Allgaier, Jeff.
Right.
Until last year, finally, and it looked like in that championship race, he'd lost it three different times and still ended up with a championship.
And what a growing moment for him. A veteran, whatever, but to go back to that last race last year and have the hiccups that he had and get the win, and you just, there's this sense of, I'm okay where I'm at. You know what, if I get a couple cup races in, that's great. But you're talking about just a gentleman who is just a driver he's just happy where he's at. And when you have that and you have that confidence, you have that team, you know, like I said, Gibbs taking a step back or, you know, whatever. I mean, Junior Motorsports, I think, is exactly where they want to be. And, it's great to see a nice guy like that do what he's doing.
Yeah, it was, I told people last year, I know the media in general doesn't cheer for people, they cheer for good stories, but I think unanimously a lot of smiles in the media center when he won the championship last year at Phoenix.
And you know, it's a great story at the end of the day when you think about it. You know,
yeah.
The good guy finishes first.
Yep.
And it's just awesome to see it. But just like I want to go back to Charlotte though, because he had tears in his eyes because, you know, and I'm like, dude, you finished, you know, top five. I know you didn't get the win, but what winning means to him now is, you know, and I know it always has been important to him, but just, I don't know, it's just something cool about him.
Yep, absolutely. A truck series race at Nashville. I think this is a big win for the series to see Rajat Kaaruth take the checkered flag. Brandon, how do you think that's going to play out? Is it as big a win as I think it is?
Oh, I think so. Tricon, and in particular Heim, had been just just ultimately dominating, the ultimate favorite. And I had sort of been looking to sort of see where Spire was. I'm like, where are they? You know, and we've seen Kyle Busch get into their trucks and run, you know, back half of the top 10. And we're like, man, they're struggling. Where are they? And Raja had a great run last year at Las Vegas and had some good runs last year. We were sort of waiting for him to come into the fold. And it just felt like it wasn't going to happen. And then he goes out and has a big win at Nashville. So I think adding anybody to this mix right now with Corey Heim, that's a huge win for the truck series because, you know, it's really awesome what Heim's been doing. I mean, he's been dominating the series. It's great to watch. But for the series and for the races itself, it's nice to have somebody sort of be able to compete with him.
Absolutely agree. I mean, I think I turned the race off because I'm like, hey, it's just going to be a Corey Heim show winning again and stuff. And, you know, and it's like when somebody dominates a series or doing what they're doing, you kind of like lose interest a little bit. So I think, you know, for Raja to get the win, his second, of his career. Once again, just, you know, an amazing story. Just a great kid who I think just brings energy and something, you know, new to the series.
How much does this help, if at all, NASCAR's diversity drive, Brandon?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, you got Bubba Wallace, who's been, you know, a very great competitor here at the cup level. You've got Daniel Suarez, who's been a very competitive at the cup level as well, but always will help NASCAR in that sense. And having another minority driver who can show us that he can go out there and compete for wins when the trucks or cars are correct, I think is huge. And we'll see what next year holds for him. I caution a lot of people on making the jump to the next series too soon. We've seen that so many times with people. And Kaaruth has shown us he's gotten two wins now. Even if he goes out and wins a championship, unless he gets into really good Xfinity Series stuff, I would just try and keep him in the truck series another year and have that Corey Heim dominant year if he can before he makes the jump. I think it's much less harmful to make the jump late than it is to make it too soon. And, you know, this kid obviously is showing that when the trucks are right, he can win races, and that's huge. We don't want to do anything to hurt that, and making the jump too soon could hurt that. So it's good to see, and I don't want to see him make the jump too soon.
100% agree with Brandon. He hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, you if he were to make the jump and then, you know, run back of the pack with whoever he joins and stuff like that and just becomes kind of an afterthought. Let's go out, you know, win a few more races, get a championship. You know, dominate that series for, another couple of years. Because at the end of the day, too, Listen, people love to watch the truck race. I mean, people, you know, show up and they enjoy watching it and they have their standalone shows and stuff like that. So completely agree with Brandon. I, you know, great guy. Just don't push the envelope too quick. Continue to learn, to continue to grow as a driver and make the move when the time is right. Because I think if you have that, you know, if he's in the truck series for another year or two, wins a championship, wins some races, it becomes that kind of, you know, I can go out and battle these other guys. It's absolutely great for the series and for Raja.
One other thing that happened in the last week, which had some significance, I thought, in the Cup Series at least, Brandon, you had the Chris Buescher penalty was actually reduced by NASCAR to about a 60-point penalty. NASCAR did cut that penalty, or not NASCAR, the appeals board cut that penalty in half. The money fine stayed the same. The championship points stayed the same at 5, but the penalty itself of 30 points or 60 points was reduced to 30. And to me, that's pretty significant when you're talking about a guy that may have to make the playoffs on points.
Yeah, and when you looked at the points overall about the penalty, you were like, okay, well, he's this many points out of the playoffs, but I think that dropped him to 22nd in the points, if I'm not mistaken, the 60-point penalty. And so that's a lot of people to have to jump to get into the playoffs via points. And I also look at it as you've got some guys back there like SVG, who you can put basically in stone is going to win one of the road course races. So then that target then moves for the points. And so that to me was a big problem. It wasn't necessarily how many points he was out. It was how many people he had to jump to get over them to make the playoffs. There's a big log jam in there from about 14th to 20th, and he was behind all of that. The 30 points put him back in it. And so it was as big of a penalty as it was. After Nashville, he's back into things because of the reduction of points. And so he's going to need to run strong here. He's been the best of the Roush cars here lately. But yeah, that was huge in that sense because he was so far back that it wasn't necessarily, like I said, how many points he was out, just how many people he had to jump.
And what basically the appeals board said that, you know, one of the two, they agreed that one part of the car that NASCAR identified, yes, it was illegal, but not the second part. So that's why they reduced
the 30 points. Right. Yeah. And like Brandon said, I think, you know, it was that realm of where you were going to be with the 60 versus the 30. And now the 30 almost becomes, I don't want to say an afterthought. I mean, because people are still looking at you going, you know, you did get fined and you did have some, you know, issues there. But I think he can now, I don't want to say breathe a little bit easier, but he's in a much better spot when it comes, you know, playoff time.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea, right now, a 30-point penalty from where he's at right now. Right now, after Nashville, he's 14th in points. 30 points behind him is 22nd.
Really?
Wow. So that
drives. Yeah, like,
yeah. 30 points in front of him would put him in 13th.
Right.
So that's, yeah, to Brandon's point, there's a lot more jam up behind him than there is in front of him. And so a lot more people to jump over.
And like he said, with the road courses, I mean, you know, and some of the wild card races that are coming up, he's in a little bit better spot now.
Yep, absolutely. There's a little more cushion there.
A little
there.
More breathing room.
Yep. When we come back, Michigan lies ahead. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about $1 to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. That's 800-610-2650.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle
and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jeff Taylor from CW Charlotte, Brandon Caldwell from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, I'm Brett McMillan, and now we have Michigan, which, of course, whenever you go to Michigan, the key thing that matters is manufacturer. It's Chevy and Ford's backyard, and Toyota wants a piece of it, too. And right. That's all we hear about is how they want to win one for the home team.
It used to be about gas mileage, didn't it?
No, it's about winning one for the home team.
Listen, it's, you know, I why not? I mean, that's, you know, it's where you put your pride on the line, and there you go. Who knows?
I mean, it starts early in the week. It's, I think Toyota won last year, Brandon, and now, you know, Chevy goes, we can't have that. We've got to get back in victory lane, and it goes from there, right?
Yeah, and the fact that there's only one race there now, I think, makes it even more prevalent. You know, we used to go there twice a year. It's a little hard to kind of understand who's going to be good at Michigan because we used to go to California Speedway before this, and that was sort of a sister track, and it was like, okay, so whoever runs well there will probably run good at Michigan. We don't have that to look back on anymore, but I love the fact that it matters for the manufacturers. You know, as somebody who grew up in loving the heyday of the sport where there was a GM Goodrich car going up against a Ford Quality Care car. And those were very important to people like my father, who was a huge Ford guy. It was important to have the manufacturer battle. And I love that that's still a huge thing here at Michigan. And it's going to be fun to see who gets that trophy.
You know, though, like, I don't know. I'll bring it up because, you know, I'm an old guy, you know, but like, and Brandon, you're a little younger than me, probably, or whatever, but help me out here. Like, does the manufacturing thing really, is it a big deal anymore? Does that make sense? I'm so used to back in the day when the cars looked, you know, they looked different and it was all of that. And now, you know, I don't know. I don't look at it anymore like that.
You don't buy that the win on Sunday,
drive it on
sell on Monday exists anymore.
I think that's completely gone.
Brandon, you're serious every day. What do you hear from you probably have a better feel from what the fans are feeling than the rest of us.
I still think it's a thing. It's just, I think now in this day in the sport, we don't have the, you know, Ford drivers versus the Chevrolet drivers. Like once Dale Earnhardt was the Goodrich guy, you knew he was not going anywhere but a Chevrolet.
Right.
Dale Jr., when he was looking after he left DEI, we all knew that he had to drive for a Chevrolet team. You know, when Bill Elliott ended up driving a Dodge, that was kind of a thing where we were like, really? The Ford guy is driving a Dodge? And I think it's just been Carl Edwards was a Roush guy from, you know, through and through. He ended up in a Toyota. Matt Kenseth ended up in a Toyota at the end of it. So that loyalty, and I can't blame the guys, but that brand loyalty with certain drivers that are not going to go elsewhere. Kyle Busch was a Toyota guy. He's back in a Chevrolet now. Like that's over with now. And I think that's really sort of hurt some of the fans that, you know, growing up, I was a Rusty Wallace fan and I was a big Ford guy and he got into a Ford. But when he went to Dodge, what am I going to do? Abandon my driver? Absolutely not. So, you know.
But he started in a Pontiac.
He started a Pontiac. My dad was such a Ford guy, I was not allowed to root for him until Penske made a switch to Ford. Then I was able to root for him. But by the time they switched to Dodge, I was making my own decisions. But like, you know, I'm not going to abandon my driver. And that just happens so much now that I think that that's where it is. But I think showing that your car is good, having good people drive for you, having people that are nice and being engaging, I think will still help your brand and winning. Obviously will help your brand as well. I think that's huge. And you look at it and say, I want to buy a Ford because it wins on Sunday. I still think that's a thing. It's just, I don't know if there's the loyalty from the fan base there used to be just because the drivers move around so much now.
But I do think, I agree, like with the fans, there maybe is that little more disconnect. But I do agree with what you said, Brett, though. I think for those who work on the cars, for those guys back in the shop, for the, you know, the CEOs of the companies and stuff like that, I get that part of it, yes. And, you know, when we talk about super speedways and stuff and the Chevys line up together and the Toyotas line up together, I get that and stuff. So, you know, I understand from a race team and a manufacturer, you want to be successful and you want your guys to shine. Yes, that away. I just think it's like we've said, there's been some disconnect with the fans in terms of that.
Well, you know, we talked about at the top of the show that all the Penske cars now have wins. There's not another organization right now that is on the cusp of having all of their drivers in victory lane, Brandon. You know, Gibbs has had two of their four win. Hendrick has had two of their four win. Trackhouse has had one of their three. As you kind of look at these teams, which one do you think, Brandon, would be the next one, if any, that would have all of their drivers get wins in their pockets?
I know it sounds crazy, but I'm going to say Trackhouse, and there's a reason why. You know, Gibbs and Hendrick, you mentioned, they have four, so the odds are stacked against them in that sense. Everybody else has three. Suarez is a very good road racer. Mexico City's coming up. Could he win one of those road courses? Maybe Mexico City.
Have you seen the script? Are you telling me you've seen the script for Mexico City?
I think he's a favorite there.
There's no script, right?
I think SVG can win one of the road courses coming up. And, you know, it just feels like Ty Gibbs has not found it yet at Gibbs. And it feels like, you know, something's going on with the 9 team as well at Hendrick, and the 48 just is running consistently, but hasn't taken that next step to get the victory lane. So when I look at going forward of the schedule, I'm like, man, maybe it's Trackhouse with the way Suarez can run. His one wins at Sonoma. So, you know, he's gotten a win there before. And SVG, maybe it's Trackhouse over Gibbs or Hendrick.
Just rewind his answer and I'll try to lip sync it or whatever, because I would say the exact same thing. Trackhouse was the first team that came to mind with the tracks that are coming up. And you mentioned Suarez and SUV and all that. I think Trackhouse, you know, I'm trying to figure out Hendrick, you know, with the 9 and the 48. And, you know, they just, I don't know. It's just, you know, the two cars, the 24 and the 5, they are who they are and stuff. But, you know, and I just don't know what's going on with the other two. But to me, Trackhouse, with their leadership and the quality of the team and stuff, they're the ones to me, I think, that get back to I think they're the next one to get all their drivers, with checker flags.
Well, and they seem to be coming around. We've seen a lot better performance coming out of Ross Chastain. Obviously, the win of the 600, but he's had more consistent runs up front. I mean, I know that he talked about the speed hadn't been there, but he had the great finish at Texas. He looked a lot better at Nashville, and he ran, obviously, winning the 600, Brandon.
Yeah, I think if you talk about SVG, the thing to judge him on is the ovals, and he looked better at Nashville. He looked better in the Coca-Cola 600. Now, I think Nashville ended up with a 25th place finish. I'm not sure what happened to him at the end of the race, but he was running significantly better than that into the top 15 at times. And so, yeah, I mean, that's not where you want to be saying, oh, that's a guy that's going to win races. But when you're talking about the speed and where he's been, that's way better than where he had been all year. And so I do think that Trackhouse is coming around. You know, the length of the 600 miles at Charlotte really played into Ross Chastain's hands. But that also gave them the on-track time that they needed and showed that if the cars are getting better, you're not going to win that race with a slow race car. So the cars are getting better and faster, and they're going to peak here at the second half of this regular season, and in order for somebody to go up, somebody else has to come down, and it'll be interesting to see who that is.
I think. Oh, go ahead.
Each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is: what will be the next organization to have all teams with wins? And your choices are Gibbs, Hendrick, Trackhouse, who both guys here think it will be, or 2311 is the other one we're putting up there, and they have no wins yet. Last week we asked you, where do you stand on the Indy 500 Coca-Cola 600 double? And 36% said somebody besides Kyle Larson needs to try it. And then we had 27% said Larson should take a couple of years off. And 27% also said enough is enough. And only 9% said that Larson should try it again. Interesting. All right. So when we come back, time for our white flag lap. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Brandon Caldwell.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin's been really strong here the last couple of weeks. And, you know, at 44 years old, this is somebody that needs to have a little bit more, I think, credit his way. All the car changes, we've heard some veteran drivers struggle with this new car. He's overcome all of that adversity to be competitive again here at the age of 44. Could this be his last year at Gibbs? It could be. Can he close out this year with that championship? And if so, you know, that's great. If not, we'll be talking the rest of our lives about Mark Martin and Denny Hamlin being the two best drivers to never win a championship. So just something to keep an eye on going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. The chances are running down little by little. All right, next up from CW Charlotte, Jeff Taylor.
I'm going to go white flag to green flag, if that's okay. Green flag, Charlotte Motor Speedway, their summer shootout series starts this week here in Charlotte. And what a great thing. If you're in this area or ever come to Charlotte on a Tuesday night, check out the Speedway. They do great things with the, you know, the quarter-mile track. They have the media bus race, which on Tuesday, June 10th, I'll be defending my title, winning the bus race last year. But I just want to throw that out. And kudos to what Charlotte Motor Speedway does, as well as all the other speedways around the area that support the up-and-coming drivers. It's an awesome thing.
You know, I never participated in a school bus race.
Come on out, man.
I'll be tied up elsewhere.
That's right.
I'll be otherwise engaged.
It's fun, let me tell you that.
I bet it is. Awesome. I bet it is.
And the trophy's huge.
They give you a full-size bus or a short bus?
No, it's a full-size school bus. They pull out all the seats, they put a roll cage in it, and you go get it. There's six of them out there at a time.
All right. Well, you know, they say patience is important, and it's not in a driver's nature necessarily to be patient. But we saw it pay off this week for Ryan Blaney. He had been through a lot. We talked about it at the top of the show. 5 DNFs so far this year. Fast race cars. I mean, you look at the fact he'd won 3 stages so far this year. But he had not made the trip to victory lane, even though he'd had really fast race cars and had been very, very good so far this year. But that patience, and maybe it was that veteran, the maturity, as we'll call it, that we talked about, that finally paid off for him. He stayed in there, kept a good attitude, and he ends up finally getting the trip to victory lane that he'd been waiting for all year long. And after so many attempts, being that close and having that good a car, he finally did get the trip to victory lane. And who knows if this opens the floodgates for Ryan Blaney to have many, many more. Brandon, thanks a lot for being with us. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it. And thank you for being with us. And we'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.